You can hear them? Okay, I bring.
But you're all right? You don't need to cut anybody here? All right. Okay. Tell me, just for the tape, and tell me your name and when and where you were born.
My name is Leroy Beavers Jr. Born October 23rd, 1951, in Georgia Family Hospital in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay. And at that time, that was the black hospital in Savannah,
One of them. There were two. Charity and Georgia Infirmary, which was given to us by, I guess, the philanthropists of Savannah, you know. Other than that, that's the hospital I know of. Now, I had a sister who was born in Charity Hospital.
Okay.
And now that was the black premier hospital. Right. All the doctors there were graduates from Meharry Medical College in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. All the black doctors.
Yeah. Now, was that a younger sister?
Older.
Older, okay.
Okay, then.
Okay. Now, what house were you born into, though? Where did you grow up? What was your first?
Now, my father told me I was born into a house on Bolden Lane.
Uh-huh.
But the house that I remember being a part of anything was 37th and Burr Street, sort of a half affluent neighborhood of black folk. Mm-hmm. It was a popular thing to be from that neighborhood,
right,
by being
so
black.
37th down here.
That's west. That's one west of West Broad Street, between 7th and 38th Street on Burr.
Yeah. And at that time, your father's barbershop was where?
It was on the corner of 40th Lane and West Broad Street.
Mm-hmm. So just a block up from where we are now,
yeah.
Where we're talking.
Yeah. It was a mecca.
Yeah?
Yeah, West Broad Street was the mecca. It was the most exciting place that I have ever known. I love it. I got love for West Broad Street right now today.
Yeah.
Because West Broad Street had meant a lot to me, because I saw things on West Broad Street that I didn't think that was really possible. They had black doctors, black dentists, black druggers, black grocery stores, black shoe stores.
Right.
Everything was in kind. In other words, Savannah was separate, but it was equal.
Uh-huh.
The people in Savannah saw fit that were looking at it. We do have a black population too, and we don't want it. They didn't. So somebody, they didn't want us to be really downtrodden.
Yeah.
So they said, "Well, look here, we'll give one half of Savannah to the whites, and the other half to the blacks."
Mm-hmm.
We had our own black policemen. We had everything.
Yeah.
It was really good, and in a sense, and not being racist, I liked it. I liked being separate but equal.
Uh-huh.
You know, I didn't mind going to Crest, but I liked going to Dave's Soda Shop even better.
Uh-huh.
Because it was people there who I connected with,
right,
you know, on West Broad Street. The part of West Broad Street I was raised again was basically almost like the red light district. The hustlers, the ladies of the night, you know.
Where was that? That wasn't over on Burroughs. Though.
No, that was on West Broad Street.
And about 37?
Right. From Taylor Street and West Broad down to Victor Drive. Was more or less like the way all the parties was.
Okay.
You know, all the party people would hang out, you know.
So the liquor and
plenty of liquor.
Clubs.
Plenty of clubs. But I was too young to go into them at the time. You know, I didn't start going to clubs, matter of fact, till I was 26. I was in the army, you know.
Right.
Because I really didn't have
chance. You were gone as soon as you turned 18.
Right. When I turned 18, I had to leave Savannah. Not because I didn't like it. It's just some of the things Savannah I didn't agree with.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I thought I was raised in an era where, you know, segregation was coming to an end.
Right.
Integration was coming in. And I just figured, like, well, I'm just equal to anybody else as anyone.
Uh-huh.
Prior to 1950, it was kind of rough for black people in Savannah, you know. But after through the 50s, which were the golden years of some people, they want to call, you know, no wars or a good living and two-car garage and chicken in every pot. And then the 60s came along. The 60s was a terrible time for me on MLK, on West Broad Street, because I saw the decay start setting in, you know, been closing down. A different type of social life started moving in.
Uh-huh.
A lot of disrespectful things just started going on. You know, people just started looking like they were hitting themselves. You know, hit what was going on around them.
You could tell that. You could see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
What do you think was going on? What was that about?
Capitalism, first and foremost. You know, after they tore the Union Station down, the train station down. That was seen at the beginning of the decay of MLK.
Okay.
Because the Union Station were more or less like the central point, at the central hub of what was going on.
Right.
Up in that area, you could get anything. That's where you got your clothes at. You travel to other cities from there. That was the debarkation and the embarkation point of Savannah. Then
white or black.
Right. Everybody
would come in there.
Mm-hmm. Everybody, even all the funeral homes around it, you know, we coming or going, you know, either go one way or leave one way, you know. But that was the beginning of it. And then it seemed to me like, well, and it's hard to say, because I hate to talk about white people in that sense. You know what I'm saying? It just seemed like, well, white folks say, okay, we'll capitalize on this. This is what we're gonna do. We can get to this. Black people got money too.
Yeah.
No, let's destroy them. Let's buy up all these places. Let's destroy their buildings. They got to come to us now.
Yeah.
You know, because one time we didn't have to go to them.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, in a lot of cases they had to come to us because we were the craftsmen,
mm-hmm.
the master brick masons. We had a few architects. We did it up. We had all the builders.
Yeah.
All the laborers, all the skilled labor, they had to come to us.
As a kid, can you remember, did you ever have to go would you ever have to go east, or would you ever have to go down to Broughton for anything?
Yes.
You would. What kind of things would you do down there?
Well, I would go, my mother would take me up to Broughton when she would go pay her bills.
Pay the light bill or something?
Yeah, that was it. Telephone bill, gas bill, that's the only time. Now, we would go up there. I'm trying to think. At that age, I'm talking about between the ages 6 and 10. Because after 10 years old, yes, we started going up there. But we couldn't go into too many places. We had to stand on the outside. You know, my mother go inside. They didn't allow too many black kids in the store.
Mm-hmm.
If a mother had brought a child down there, we'll look at you. Somebody, you got to curb your child. Take care of your business. You know, and we had to sit down obedient like a dog or some animal on the side and wait till mom come back. We better not move either. And mom either like purchase shoes from the shoe store.
Mm-hmm.
Mama had to already know my size. And she go in there and purchase, and then she'd come back on and try them on outside. You know, things like that.
Yeah,
that was the way of life then, you know.
Yep.
You know, just sit and think about it. You know, it'll run you crazy. You got to just put that on the back burner and say, well, that's the way it was. You got to think like this here. You know about caveman days. You know caveman started on the goddamn side. We couldn't live like that nowadays, but that's the way it was. That started out like you think about when they didn't have no air conditioning. You imagine no air conditioning in the house? I can't. No.
But they did. You know?
Yeah. That's the way I think about it. Sometimes it just hurts so bad.
Yeah.
It hurts. Just go to the bone, and just to see West Broad Street just to go down the way it did, just oh man, and then to name it MLK, a man of his stature.
You disagree with that decision?
Yes.
How come? Tell me about
because,
that. I would think that, you know, Dr. King would be a real source of pride for the
community. Exactly. Yeah, it would be a real source of pride. But look, they take his name and put it in an impoverished area where there's a lot of plight at, you know, urban plight, you know.
Right.
You know, you just can't walk into a street sign and say, I live on MLK, I'm going to do good.
Uh-huh.
That don't get it. Well, it would have really been bad, really been good if they would have tucked Abercorn Expressway and named it MLK. Mr. Brown had all the property where Overthorpe Mall is located. A lot of black people had owned a lot of property out in that area.
Uh-huh.
And it was took it from for little or nothing. $10,000 for a big tract of land.
Yeah.
That's no money. But we didn't have no money. So it was money to us.
Right.
We didn't know nothing about mega bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what the hell is mega bucks anyway?
Yeah.
You know, $10 was mega bucks to me.
Right.
You know. So, and name a street like that. Name a street like Bull Street MLK where everybody can share in the name.
Right.
Everybody. Everybody won't be upset.
Uh-huh.
You say, well, I live on MLK.
Yeah.
In America, the only street, all the streets that name MLK that I've been around a lot of places. It's nothing but black people.
Yeah.
You know, that's more or less that they patronize. Don't patronize me. Help me if you want to do anything. You know, let me leave the black neighborhood and go to Martin Luther King Boulevard in the white neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? You feel what I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So basically, but West Broad Street was a grand place. And then West Broad Street had two sides, the white side, the black side.
This side being the black side.
The west side was the black side,
uh-huh.
And the east side of West Broad was the white side.
And that was the dividing line.
Right, up there. Now, that ended though in the early 60s.
Okay.
And then the dividing line became Bull Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, couldn't go across Bull Street.
But you still remember when that was the dividing line?
Yeah. The streetcars used to run up here. Yeah.
Did you, were there sort of back and forth between, I'd imagine,
no.
You know, young people?
No, not even. No, there was no association. The only thing I knew, that was Mr. Adler house, and that was it. No, Mr. Adler children. That was it. No more, no less.
Mm-hmm.
The Pozio restaurant over there. And his family. Let me tell you about this guy, Pozio. Now, Pozio was on 37th and Montgomery. That's right behind West Broad Street. Mm-hmm. When integration came around, this man elected to close his restaurant instead of serving blacks. But he also elected to keep his liquor store open and sell alcohol to black people.
I can
get them drunk, but I ain't gonna feed them.
Right.
You know, so let's keep poisoning them.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. It was poison. It was selling us poison.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to some of these grocery stores around here now, it's nothing like it used to be. You can get prime cut meat one time around here. Now, you go to, it's a lot of smoked meat, a lot of fat pig meat. And there's nothing wrong with pig meat. I like it.
Yeah,
but
it'll kill you.
Right, exactly. And it seems like no one is thinking about the social structure around here. There's a lot of sick, old, elderly people around here. I can tell you right now, you cannot go to a grocery store within a block of this place. They got two or three grocery stores around here, and you can't get no diet food. These people got to go to Kroger uptown,
yeah.
Or Kroger down in the Geechee Road. These people got to travel to get their diet meat. Hell, they catching hell with prescription.
Yeah.
You know, there's no.
That's
no,
another thing, it's pharmacies.
Oh, my God. We don't even have one. Savannah Pharmacy. They tell me that's back in business again, but
mm-hmm.
Look at the price. We got this, they got to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're paying top dollar for their medicines also.
Right. As an independent pharmacist.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And he's catching hell as an independent pharmacist.
Uh-huh.
He's catching pure hell. But he's trying to take care of the neighborhood, and I commend him.
Yeah.
I really do.
So tell me what you were describing yesterday when we talked just about how, in some ways, this was your playground.
Playground. The playground that was up here was Caldwell Street Park, 38th Street Park. But we weren't allowed to go in because it was declared not for colored children at the time, and for lack of terms, used colored.
And that was on the other side.
And that was on the east side of West Broad Street. So we had to basically play on the dirt streets, the side street, Burr Street, 38th Street, Burr 38, Florence Street. We had to play on them streets.
But you were in the barbershop a lot. Did you have a freedom to be out playing? Or?
Yeah. My father let me do what I wanted to do. I was kind of spoiled brat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was like, I come up in a family that the man was in charge. My father was in charge. My mother had no control over me.
Yeah.
Only at night. Once I go back into the domain, I belong to her.
Uh-huh.
But as long as I'm at my father's barbershop, I was under his custody.
Yeah.
You know. But I played all up and down the dirt street. The streets themselves were our ball fields.
Uh-huh.
They were our football fields. They were our baseball fields. We didn't have basketball, so we had to put up a peach basket and nail that up to a tree. And they didn't have a basketball. We'd find some old little beach ball and play basketball with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, softball, we had to get old toilet roll and wrap it with tape until we got it nice and tight. But after a couple of whacks of that, you know, we had to stop the game to tape it back up again. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You had, how about would you ever go down to, you were talking about how they finally toured, you remember them tearing down the old
train
neighborhoods, well, further down, the Yamacra.
Down on Farm Street, yeah,
uh-huh.
yeah, I remember all the row houses. They had a club down there one time, my mother used to go to.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
What kind of club?
Yeah, the Jip joint.
The Jip joint,
yeah, you know.
Do you know what they were playing in there, more or less?
Ooh, like the old... Yeah, the old blues and the bebop, bom 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 bom, you know
yeah.
The old song, a lot of Ray Charles and a lot of B.B. King,
yeah.
and a lot of the old blues, yeah, down home blues, uh-huh. We call it, you know, the Mississippi Delta blues, and Grinnell Street.
Was your mom from South Carolina as well?
No, my mother's from Georgia. She's from a place called Shellman Bluff, Georgia.
Okay.
It's in McIntosh County. It's about 45-minute ride from here. Near Saplo Island.
Oh, sure.
My mother's a true Geechee.
Geechee.
Yes, she is. She's a full blood. I was proud of that heritage, too. All my grandparents are full Geechee. And we still have a large family down there now.
Yeah.
Down in Shellman Bluff.
Okay.
I am so proud of them. I just been sitting listening to them talk all day.
Yeah,
you know?
I bet.
Oh, man.
The stories and the accents.
Yeah, yeah. The accent is just magnificent.
You pick up on it, though.
Oh, yeah.
You talking at all? Or
oh, yeah. Yeah, when I go down there, I got to be, they're quick to say, well, Leroy, what are you going to do today? I say, I'm going down to the river. She got to catch me some of them crabs down there, man. You know, something like that, you know. But I love it down there. I love it. And that was good for my family to take my daughters down there. Because after my daughters been traveled around the world,
uh-huh.
And since my daughters lost their identity, you know.
That's what you were telling me.
They, you know,
growing up on the bases.
Right. They didn't talk like Southerners. They used to get rid of, when I brought them back to Savannah, they got ridiculed for about the way they talk.
Yeah.
The way they act, because, you know, I only ask for nothing but pure respect and discipline out of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more, no less. And that's sort of, when I brought them back, and for them to intermingle with the children here in Savannah was a culture shock to them. You know, they couldn't handle it. And then we had some rough nights with my daughters this morning. One of my daughters refused to stay in Savannah. She wanted to move back to Texas. My youngest daughter didn't believe the United States was her home. She was born in Germany. She lived in Germany for six years. When it was time for me to PCS back to the United States, we came back to Savannah, Georgia. Youngest daughter looked at me and said, Daddy. I said, yeah. She said, when are we going to go back home? That hurt. When I had to bring her out here and say, well, you're already home. And, you know, you got to look at the landscape from where we live that
right.
Compared to, you know, Europe is such a beautiful place.
Yeah.
You know? We brought her back in. She just couldn't get with me. Right now, they're the same child that I'm telling you about.
Uh-huh.
When she turned 18, and I'm not mad at her, she left home.
Did she? She's not back in Germany.
No, she's in New York City with
okay.
My sister.
Okay. You know,
she's going to school up there. But I talk to her once a month,
yeah.
But she vowed, she straight up, she told me, Dad, I'm not coming back to Savannah. And I understand.
Someday she's going to get
the bug. Oh, quite naturally, when the
she'll
older get she gets, yeah, she'll come back,
yeah.
Maybe. But I don't see it no time in the future.
Yeah.
But and I'm not mad at her because I can always jump in my car and drive up to go see her.
Uh-huh.
You know, or fly up or whatever.
You did the same thing?
Yes. Yeah, that's why I can't say now. My wife is head over heels about it. She's really pissed. Yes.
Is your wife from Savannah?
Yes, she is. She's from Sandfly.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's a Sandfly girl from that community.
Is that near
Penn Point with Clarence Thomas, yeah, right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Large black community.
The old.
One of the oldest, 200, over 200 years old. Yeah.
They had the seafood factory out
there. Right, yeah, the crab factory, yeah. Right. Yeah. And my mother used to work there.
Did she really?
She was a young lady when she first moved to Spanish.
Making the, what did they put?
The crab patties, crab in the cups, and shuck the crab.
Right.
Crab patty, my mother did that.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know, you know. West Broad Street still holds a lot of nostalgia for me. That's why I'm sort of stuck here. Where we at now, because I lack it. You know, when I was here as a young man, before prior to going to the military, I was part of the clown show.
Part of the what?
The clown show. We would call it a circus. It was like a circus up here, the circus atmosphere. There was so many things going on. You know, you could see anything. You could see the man on the corner doing the three-card money act. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You know, and then you got the young boys standing on the corner singing, doing their little doo-wop act. And then you got maybe another kid down the street tap dancing. You know what I'm saying? And then I said, oh man, this is a clown show up here. But now, I came back as a spectator because it was really, you know, it wasn't the same.
This is after you got out of the military.
Right.
How old were you when you got back?
I'm 40.
I had just turned 20 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then the only time when I visited Savannah, I only visited Savannah 1 or 2 days. I never stayed no longer than 2 days. That's how bad
probably
I.
Probably most of the time you're over at your father's on the east side.
Right, right. Either at my mother-in-law's.
Okay.
What we would do, we would go on vacation.
Yeah.
We would go to Florida, spend 7 or 8 days in Florida, and make this a stop off on the way to come back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, one a couple of days here. You know.
But what was the clown show? Now?
The clown show, just like I said, was like the circus atmosphere, and I was part of it. I would be up here.
Did you do acrobatics?
No. What I'm saying, more or less, what I'm saying, it was just like, you know, it was all type of things, you know, like the red light district, and you can see the pimp.
Uh-huh.
And you know, be watching these guys and like how they move and
yeah.
The ladies of the night and how they move, and then you know, the occasional alcoholic or drunk, whatever you want to call it. And then in the midst of all of that, you see a very respectable person. And you sometimes when you can tell them, because when they would walk down the street, it was like the partner of the Red Sea. These people would move out of the way for him.
Who and, would they move out for? Like what kind of people?
Doctor Collier, Dr. Gaucher. I remember them vividly.
Uh-huh.
And all the preachers.
All the preachers,
you know, all
yeah.
The preachers demand respect, but some of the preachers is worse than some of everybody else too. and women. Guys, what went on West Broad Street at the time was the utmost respect for females.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a female would walk by, and it could be a gang of guys on the corner, but they wouldn't peep one profanity. They would stop and let this woman pass by. When the old people used to walk down up the street, and the young guys would be sitting on, like on the street or somewhere or in front of a business, all these guys would stand up, take off their hat, and let this old person pass.
Can you imagine?
No, but see, I instinctively, that's still in me now today.
Right.
When I'm sitting out there and the older person walk by, I get up and let them walk by and then do, you know, that little light bow,
right.
Like, you know, how you doing? And but that's still in me right now today, but I don't see kids do that no more. But that's the way it was up here. It was really.
Do you remember any in particular individuals that stand out in your memory?
Yes.
Some real characters. Tell me about some real characters that you remember.
I don't know if I want to talk about these people because some of their families are still around today. You know what I'm saying?
You can even give initials or something, or you just describe them. You don't have to even name them.
Let's say George. let's say George.
Uh-huh.
George is a big one. And he would do odd jobs, sweep the sidewalk.
Yeah.
He drank a lot. But I didn't know too much about it. But he used to tell stories. He was a storyteller. He told me the story about the Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox. He told me those stories. He told me all about Bob and Fat 40 Thief. And he told them in length, word verbatim, because as I got older, I read these books. I said, man, George Hinton, and it started me, how did he remember all this?
Was he an older man?
He was a middle-aged man. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was an alcoholic.
But he's a storyteller.
Oh, yes, he was. Oh, yes, he was. Then we had one man, I'm going to call him Chalk Eye. He was one of the first black men to go to University of Pennsylvania Law School.
Okay.
And got a law degree, but couldn't practice law.
Because of
segregation. Yeah. And the only thing he could do is be like maybe a paralegal, which we're going to call a paralegal, just give legal advice to blacks and around and did taxes.
Yeah.
Did everybody taxes from whoever had taxes to be done, whoever had jobs had to get taxes to be done. And I remember him. And he just sit and tell me about it. And I tried to figure out how in the hell did he get to go to University of Pennsylvania in the world. And he went to University of Pennsylvania in the 40s, in the early 40s, and graduated. And then he turned out to be just one of the biggest alcoholics of all times. That hurt.
Yeah.
What made him go there? What did him like this here? His brother's still living today, and I'm in love with his brother. His brother's about 80 years old, mm-hmm. But I'm in love with his brother. His brother comes to his barbershop. And then we had all kind of characters.
Yeah.
We had the entrepreneurs.
Okay.
The so-called entrepreneurs.
Uh-huh.
The guys who sell liquor.
Uh-huh.
And the shot houses.
Uh-huh.
They were the money men, the bowl leader runners.
Right.
And,
was telling me about you would have been pretty young, but Sloppy.
Oh yeah, I didn't know Sloppy Percy Sloppy. I didn't know Sloppy from word of mouth.
But
we stayed in this. But where we stayed at was right across the street from where he lived at.
Uh-huh.
But my father used to work for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it's good to say that.
Yeah,
they were gangsters.
That.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh huh.
I don't know if it's good to say that, you know. But to me, and from the listen to what they say, they were gangsters.
Yeah.
They did count money all night long, and they need to take shift. They would have shift to come and count money.
Yeah.
Count money till he got sick. Well, what the hell? And then Sloppy had to lend the city of Savannah money.
Right.
You know, I do remember the Flamingo night, the Flamingo club they had on Grenad Street where the Flamingo Diamond was. It was a nightclub, the Flamingo.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these kids and guys, people don't really know, but the ballrooms that they had on MLK and on Grenad Street,
yeah,
they rival any one the white folks had.
Uh-huh.
They were very lavish.
And I'm sure the entertainment was a whole lot better.
Much better. Matter of fact, that's who came.
It was the white client.
Right, exactly. Uh-huh. That's who came.
Right.
You know. They didn't go to the, they had a white club you call Bamboo Ranch.
Uh-huh.
Nobody but the rednecks went in the band. The really diehard, not going to give up, hate you the rest of my damn life. That's who went there.
Uh-huh.
You know. But, oh, hell yeah, they had, and then they had Gunnies. There's another club that they had here. Old black man. Now, he was the one, I think, one other than Mr. Sloppy, the other entrepreneur in Savannah, Georgia, because he had owned real estate and he owned a nightclub, and his nightclub was very respectable. You did not come to his nightclub with no loud mouth or talk. Mm-hmm. Any guy. I hear these men talk. You ain't going in Gunny like that. You know, we might go out to Harris, you know, in the place there. Derrick's Inn,
yeah.
Lincoln Inn, but these places were nice places though,
right?
Because and I hear my father talk about the suits that they used to wear, and the ladies had the gowns on, and men wore the wingtip alligator shoes. And I had put that picture in my head, and at the time I was kind of, it wasn't no place like that.
Yeah.
In Savannah, so this is before my time. This is during the time of when Duke and Count Basie was really doing his thing. Yeah, doing his thing.
Do you remember the protests? I mean, you would have been, you know, a young teenager.
I was 14, between 13 and 17 years old, yeah.
Would I remember. You have gone down to Broughton Street to be part of the protest?
Yeah, my mother and father wouldn't let me.
Uh-huh.
And they were scared for me.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want nothing. I was Viola Beaver's baby boy, her only son.
Sure.
And a lot of young black men was getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
And getting put in jail and getting misused. And my mother just, you know, I sort of
stay away from that.
I don't want you no part of that. Don't do that. Because, and I sort of obliged her to that. You know, and then basically I had to work.
Well, you were in the store.
Right, in the barber shop.
And you were telling me yesterday or the day before that you
put me in a Coca-Cola crate.
You were kind of young cutting hair.
9 or 10 years old. My father, I tell you, I cut the little guy's hair. And my father walked in the barber shop and caught me cutting his hair. And I was getting ready to put the razor on it. My father said, "Boy, what you doing?" I dropped the razor. And he looked at the boy and say, "Who cut his hair?" I said, "I cut his hair." He said, "Finish." So I finished cutting his hair. You remember that, Daddy? You cutting Danny boy hair? You remember I cut Danny boy hair? And you walked in the barbershop on me? And then he said, "Finish cutting his hair." So I finished cutting his hair. He said, "Where you learn that at?" I said, "Man, I've been sitting in the barbershop all my life. I'm sitting watching you, you know." Next day, they got a little yellow Coca-Cola crate. Put it behind the chair and got me a white barber coat. And that was it.
Yeah.
And then everybody wanted to come see
kind
the
of
little
a novelty.
Young, see the little young Beaver barber. Little barber. They could, nobody couldn't believe I was down there cutting hair. Well, cutting hair, you can cut too. And then my father was good. My father was good. And see, I learned all of his techniques.
Uh-huh.
Cut hair in 5 minutes. I was giving people what they really wanted. They wanted to come in, get a haircut, and go about their business. And I credit all of that to my father.
Yeah.
All of that. I guess if I'd come up in another barbershop where they had a bunch of slow barbers there, I probably would have been a slow barber.
Uh-huh.
But I was born to this right here, and I thank God for it every day.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a novelty. One time I was like the Afro King. I did all the young guy Afro.
Oh, is that right?
Talk about blow them up. Now, believe it or not, it was good money. But boy, I hated doing that. I hated the big Afro because it was too time consuming.
Take too much
work. Yeah. Uh-huh. You had to really, you know, pay attention to detail, you know what I'm saying, to do that kind of work. I can still do it, but all that hair, man, and just trying to, because see what you, the effect that you want this guy, you give him a nice style, he want to go out and look like that. But he want to wake up in the morning looking like that too. So you actually had to cut it like that. Where he lay his head on the pillow, and when he wake up, it spring back.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's just coming out. It's just like it was when he left the barbershop.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, then my father, you know, I owe everything to my father, man. It ain't nothing in this world. Because I done been in the army, and I learned a lot of things. But initially, my mother and father, they put what's in here now today. And I thank them so dearly for it. And West Broad Street now. I'm going to tell you right now, I learned a lot from the street here.
Yeah.
You know, some things you can learn in school. But there's some things out here you can't learn in school.
Uh-huh.
You can't learn that. The things I learned out here. What I learned on West Broad Street prior to 18 years old helped me when I left Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah.
How to deal with people socially. The only thing I couldn't really deal with, to be honest, my first time away was white people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never dealt with white people before. And then seeing like white people was more or less unforgiving in a sense, like, what the hell he say? Where the hell you come from? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And seemed like, well, everybody else can help them understand what the hell. Why the hell you can't understand what I'm saying? You know, it was crazy. And then I had a couple of friends. One white guy befriended me.
Uh-huh.
His name was Jerry Gillespie. He was from Pennsylvania. And he loved to play soccer. I don't know nothing about no soccer. I haven't even heard about soccer. What the hell is soccer, man? And we were roommates. And I just, tell Jerry straight up, man. I said, Jerry, I was talking to a white guy one day, and something I said, and the white guy said, you know, that guy, they're kind of stupid, you know. And I didn't understand why he called me stupid. I thought I was talking, I really wasn't talking that much. It was just a regular conversation, you know. And Jared explained it to me. He said, well, it's not that you're stupid. It's just that they don't understand you because they haven't been around black guys. And then that what really cracked it for me right there. Sense. Right, yeah. Then I said, okay, now I understand that. So the other way, we both have to feel each other out now in order to be something together.
Right.
But I learned right here on West Broad Street. Everything I learned.
Yeah.
Everything I that took me on my travels around the world, got it right here.
If there were one business that you'd like to see come back to the street, what would
the
you
train.
Like to have back?
The train.
Seriously?
Yeah, put the train station up there. Put the train station back up there.
What is it you miss about the train?
The train station had all kind of little things. You ever been to Central Station in New York?
Mm-hmm. The same.
Yeah, just on a small scale.
Right.
The train would back into the terminal, man. You get some ice cream and the stores and the train killed this damn place, man. Because people from all around, we met people, you know, that you think you'd never meet before at the train station. You met New Yorkers. You met people from Oklahoma, California, Chicago. Had a chance to talk to these people. And while that train station was up there, the black people who came from these areas came down here to get served, get their hair cut. I stopped off to a club. You got a chance to meet these people.
Yeah.
When they put that highway out there, I-95, that was the other stab in the back, because this was Highway 17 here. Everybody had to come down West Broad Street first.
That's right, sure.
Everybody had to come across that bridge, the old Tabbage Bridge,
yeah,
up 17, and this was 17 here. And then the junction was right here at Victor Drive for all ports going south. I just stand in the corner and look at the tags. Oh, Nebraska, Arkansas, California.
Everybody. From New York to Florida, you have to go by the Beaver's Barbershop.
Every time, right. Excuse me. Every time. Every time. Everybody had to come by here.
Yeah.
Everything came by here.
Yeah.
Baseball teams. Entertainers, their buses came through here. Everything came through here. I was sitting in front of my father's barbershop. They had a radio one time. I sure wish that barbershop was still here. And then the radio had a speaker, and the speaker was up in the door. And every October in the World Series, they play the World Series on the street, and everybody come out. Bus driver stops. What's the score? What's the score? You know, it was just so much life on MLK.
Yeah.
Integration came down and killed the life. Killed it.
But
they made it in a way they didn't put it to death. They just put it on such a low level that it would never rise again. But it's gonna rise again. I know it's gonna rise again. They put it on such a low level. Like when people now, You know, we talk about esteem now. It was so much esteem on West Broad Street at one time. It was so many respectful men. Mr. Joe Young, I ain't never seen that man without a suit on at a time. Elderly man, never. Gold rings on his finger, never. A nice little fedora with the men was wearing. Oh, man. And then integration come along. And then it was, for some reason, this mentality came along there where everybody wanted, I'm going down to Woolworth. I'm going down to Crest. I couldn't understand that.
Right.
Wow. I couldn't understand why they want to go down there.
Yeah.
Well, they can go over to Dave's Soda Shop, get the same thing, and even get even better treatment. Mm-hmm. You know? They had restaurants they can go to, fine restaurants. My daddy had a restaurant. You ever tell about the restaurant he had? Yeah, he had a restaurant on the street on 40th and West Broad. Back in the early 60s.
Yeah?
Right.
What kind of
I
place?
Loved that place. Because that's the only place I could get cookies and candy. You know, this is not the first restaurant. This is not the first business my father owned. He owned that business down there. And it was a very nice restaurant. But nowadays, people are always on the go and they got that fast food. And so a greasy spoon will suffice now for anybody nowadays.
Yeah.
Just stop and go. You know what I'm saying? Let me get this and I gotta go. But it's a remarkable thing, you know, that what happened here on West Broad Street, just it was murder. It was in a sense, it was sort of a type of a genocide of a social life,
uh-huh.
of life where people had just pure natural respect for each other. That is something that we are lacking here now today. Mm-hmm. Don't have it at all. Not up here no more. No telling what might happen on to you now on West Broad Street now.
Mm-hmm.
Get robbed, killed, or whatever right now. And because of that, because first and foremost, we can't leave out technology. Technology did West Broad Street in too. The mall. When they took all them businesses and put it up under a roof, that was not only the death of West Broad Street, but it was the death of Broughton Street.
Mm-hmm.
I had loved Broughton Street too.
It killed that one too.
In the Christmas time, Mama would take me out to Broughton Street and we would always go there just as they put up all the Christmas decorations. Mm-hmm. And my mother had a 56, I think it was a 56 Chevrolet, and I used to love to put my head in the back of the mirror as the car go down the street and I could watch the light and it looked so beautiful, like Las Vegas, you know what I'm saying? That was grand.
Yeah.
That was grand.
It killed Broughton though.
Yeah, killed it dead. Yeah, the mall killed Broughton dead.
Right.
Now, but Urban Renewal is fixing Broughton Street up.
Yep.
But Urban Renewal is fixing all of they call them downtown.
Uh-huh.
So what do we call this here? America will fix up all the downtown, but they never want to talk about the Audubon Street in Atlanta, the West Broad Street in Savannah, Georgia. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to talk about them. And when they know they were meccas for us, we had it.
Yeah.
And then we got this new social life now. You know, we got to call a spade now. We got racism within the black race. You know, not so much talk about white folks. We got black folks, the middle class black folks against the lower class black folks.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, that's a thing in itself right there that the young black guys got to deal with now. Now we got a caste system of our own that we got to deal with.
Right
up here. It's crazy, man. It's wild.
Go ahead.
And integration got it like that. Integration was a terrible thing. Integration was terrible.
Yeah.
But who, what did integration help anything? It didn't help nothing. White folks still dislike black folks for the color of their skin. Black folks just still distrust white folks.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't change nothing. Only thing it changed, the drug trade got big and everybody's into it. The only thing that happened in America is the drug got big. One time marijuana was a serious novelty. You know, it was just something for somebody to try.
Right.
Just to see what it led. It's a way of life now. It's a way of life now for the young teenagers coming up now.
Uh-huh.
Right up here, it's a way of life. You couldn't find no marijuana. If you found somebody on MLK or West Broad Street selling dope back in them days, he was an outcast.
Yeah.
He was a lowlife. What are you trying to do? Destroy your own people? That's what these people would tell him.
Right.
They'll make him feel that he's not wanted. You know, and then the guy who was using the drug, you guys, y'all go down the street and y'all take care of your business. Don't come down here with this here. Not like that no more. You look at what's going on around you, especially up here on MLK, and you're right up and down MLK. You know, I was riding up the other day and I was looking at up there when I was up by St. Philip Church. And I was trying to think, now where was the hotel at? I know it was a hotel, and then it was a barber and beauty supply either downstairs in the hotel. Am I right, Daddy? What was, you know, what, the Dunbar Hotel? I'm talking about a barber supply store where they buy little black dolls and stuff. You saw the, who was downstairs? So they didn't sell, so, oh, so Sam Williams was across the street before he moved over by the Star. Okay, all right, then, okay. Yeah, yeah. And then I was trying to think all the places that was there. I know the funeral home was on the corner, right around the corner, Sidney Jones. Around the corner. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
But well, you were trying to reconstruct it.
Yeah, yeah, and I couldn't do it. That hurt it. And I used to know this place so vividly. Up by where the supermarket at, the sidewalk was hot. You had to walk up some steps.
Uh-huh.
That's over there by Alex Super.
Where was it?
Alex Super Duper was located up there, I think. And you had to walk up some steps.
Yeah.
Hey, how y'all doing?
All right.
I'll be right with you in a second. Yeah. Right. I'm giving the interview right here.
Okay.
Yeah. This is my friend. This is Mr. Ben Allen.
How you doing?
He's doing for